This podcast contains graphic descriptions of violent crimes, including murder, assault, and details of human suffering that may be disturbing to some listeners. If you or someone you know is struggling with these issues, please reach out to a trusted professional or crisis hotline for support. The following story is true. Please proceed with caution.
Hello, this is Mark, and you're listening to The Wife is Guilty. I'm on with my co-host, Amy. How are you doing, Amy?
I'm good. How are you, Mark?
Doing all right.
Awesome.
We're talking about a crazy wife today.
We are.
And it's you. No, I'm kidding.
Yes, it's me.
Yeah. I still don't
it's
like
not
that bell.
Me.
No, it's not you. It's not you. I think this wife today that we'll be talking about is a rare one. Fortunately for the world,
I agree.
She's awful.
She is awful, and the cases that we've covered before, you know, the women, they have a really like troubled upbringing. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can kind of see where things come from.
Abused, with them. Yeah, being
right.
Abused. Being mistreated, you know, being cheated, being all right. The stuff.
This lady.
Oh my God.
I got nothing.
Dina Thompson. So I think she was born in what, 60 or 63. And yeah, this is a little bit of a newer case because this takes place in the late 90s.
Yep.
Early 2000s even.
Yeah, there was something in 2005, like they redid the case or something. I'd have to bring it up.
It's a crazy, crazy case because, so I guess essentially her criminal behavior began in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. This takes place, on the other side of the Atlantic, ocean, or if you're in California, the other side of the Pacific. Actually, it depends on where you are. If you're in the UK, it's taking place where you are.
Right, so, that's true.
So
for us, yeah. It's across the pond.
Yeah, but she moved to Sussex with her first husband. I'm pretty sure I read that she had met him when they were younger,
mm-hmm.
But she was already showing like signs of early manipulation. Mm-hmm. And in the early 1990s, while she was employed at a building society, which I'm not really sure what a building society is.
It's actually, if I understand it correctly, it's like a credit union.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But she stole from them because, you put money in front of this woman. She took roughly $35,000 at the time. So $35,000 mm-hmm. is a lot of money today, right? Of course.
Right.
But in the early 90s, I mean, we're talking like it's worth roughly double.
Right.
So think of it as like 70,000 bucks.
Yep, that's crazy.
She stole them from customer accounts, and she decided that, when everything was hitting the fan, she's like, you know what I'll do? I'll frame my husband.
Unbelievable.
And that was kind of the beginning of the end for her and her husband. Now, what is the story with her and her husband, her first husband?
So, she was it Lee Wyatt? Is that the first?
You know husband? What? I'll be honest. The first husband is the only one I really didn't look into because I don't think.
Same.
He got out lucky.
I think you're right because I don't. Oh, first husband, Lee Wyatt in 84. Okay, yeah, so Lee Wyatt.
I mean, he's lucky because he got out with only being framed for $35,000.
Right. And so the beginning of the story, it had me laughing, honestly, because they were working on this stuffed animal idea.
Right. I forgot about the
leprechaun thing.
Yeah. They kept calling it the leprechaun.
Really?
I don't know if it was the accent, right. Or
maybe
I'm gonna see if I can find, but she came up. Yeah, I forgot about this. I'm sorry. So no, they were developing these like stuffed animals. They were also working at like kind of a carnival of some sort, yeah, right? And they came up with this.
Well, that comes a little bit later.
Oh, does it come later? I thought it was linked to the stuffed animal.
Yes and no.
Okay. So yeah, so she came up with this doll, right? This, yeah. It's a leper, it's Sean the Leprechaun.
Yep.
And I guess she was a seamstress and she would make them, and she made up this story that
she made up two stories.
Yeah. There was some company, like a local big toy company that maybe we've never heard of because it's a UK company or something.
Probably. But then, so maybe three.
And people are like, whoa, that's pretty amazing. You know, yeah, that they're involved. That's pretty incredible. And then she's like, well, one incredible Disney is in, you know, wants to get in on this.
Yes. And make an animated movie about it.
Right. About Sean also, the Leprechaun.
Right. And also the Irish Airlines Aer Lingus.
That was it. That was the one.
Wanted to, well, she said that they wanted to give them out in first class.
Oh my God.
And apparently this thing is like so creepy looking that
right, you know. Yeah, I thought it was cute. I mean, all stuffed animals are kind of, it's kind of trollish looking.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not wrong, it's generic, you know, like there's nothing special about it, but people are like, oh my God, you know, like we got a free Disney World,
right?
And it just didn't really pan out. And you know, what were the next steps? How did that collapse?
So she said that they had a £50 million deal with Disney. Huh. And then she told Lee that the mafia was after them because of
that. That was the story with Lee, because Lee
had to go into hiding and he started working at an arcade.
She made him paranoid. He had to start changing his name.
Yep. He went by Colin something, and that's when he was working like at the arcade.
And he was living life before this. Like there was nothing wrong with him. He enjoyed life, and she introduced this level of paranoia.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about
that. Is crazy. Like it's to instill that kind of fear in someone else. Like it's terrible. I can't even imagine doing that. Doing it to someone else would give me anxiety.
Yeah. And the people who worked with him would call him like, Colin.
And he guy, never looked.
Like, well, I guess that's why, you know, he wouldn't respond to it. We thought he was hard at hearing. And right. It was because it wasn't his name.
Yep. And so he would, he lived on like the bare essentials. And he would send most of his money to Dina.
Mm-hmm.
She met the next victim.
During
Julian Webb, during her marriage. Yeah.
So she became, I mean, what is it called? Like when you're bigamy. Married. Yeah. So she was definitely a bigamist here.
She was a bigamist for sure. Yep. Yeah.
That's probably the most gentle of the crimes she would commit.
Seriously. Yeah. Yep. You know, she kept saying like she wanted to go to Florida. She made up this job offer to Julian, like for, you know, like working on a boat, and it's like, you know, £20,000 a year plus, you know, like fringe benefits and like a company car and whatever. She actually typed that out on her neighbor's computer because she didn't have one at the time. And then after that,
but you know, like Lee's mother, to go back a little bit, right? His mother was super suspicious and warned him about the rush marriage, and yeah, nobody listens to their mother. So
I know. I wish that they would. Because we know a lot.
Yeah. The whole thing, it was pretty crazy. So, let's see. So, who's the next victim? Who's the fishing boat one?
Julian Webb.
All right, so it's Julian Webb, same age as her, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, wait, but they went and got a boat, right? But wait, are you sure? Because this is, was he the fan of the hot spicy curries?
Yes.
Okay, for whatever reason, I'm thinking that the guy with the boat lived.
Nope.
All right, spoiler, Julian Webb didn't.
So... I have to tell you what I looked up right before we started recording. I actually looked up if Mercury was in retrograde.
Oh, really? All right.
And it was.
Oh, my God.
The day that he died. His birthday, actually. It was June 30th, 1994. And Mercury was indeed in retrograde.
So, huh. I mean, all right. So far, we're 2 for 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Catherine Knight case.
Yeah, because we have other podcasts. We have thehusbanddidit.com, and we also have, of course, this podcast that you're listening to right now, The Wife is Guilty. But yes. They're kind of, you know, husband and wife podcasts done by two friends who are not husband and wife.
Right. Yes.
But that being said, that is amazing. We found
I thought you'd like
the
that.
Other case. I forgot to look. I'm so happy you did. That's why we do it together.
It just popped into my head, and I'm like, you know. Because like there, it's around the same time every year. Like, mm-hmm. You know, so I was like, you know, I bet. And yeah.
Now, let me ask you, was Mercury in retrograde when I'm getting ahead of myself with the story, but was it when he consumed or when took, you know, his final breath?
Both. It was in retrograde from June 12th, 94 to July 6th, 94.
Mm-hmm. Really, yep. I think that may have even determined some level of action here. I mean,
yeah, probably did.
Wow. That's eye-opening. To me, that's very eye-opening. Like that. I was even going to say, I was thinking about this the other day. Do you know, have you ever looked into ley lines?
No.
Yeah, it's more.
I've heard of them.
It's taken even less seriously than Mercury in retrograde by most people. But I take them pretty seriously. But ley lines are these like natural occurring lines. I'm not really sure the basis of them, but I almost want to start. Not almost. I'm going to try to start tracking them with the locations that, you know, we talked about.
That's a good idea.
So, but yeah, so Julian Webb, met Dina in the early 90s. So he also had a big, unfortunately, he had a love of hot, spicy curries.
He did, yes.
But they had like kind of a romance going on. But of course they were, you know, in a marriage that was illegal, which is
correct.
They're both 30 years old.
Yep. And that is going to screw her. Mm-hmm. The fact that her marriage to Julian Webb is void because she was already married. Mm-hmm. Because when she finally does kill him, like she goes to his place of employment the same day and starts asking about like his pension and life insurance.
The story is so sad though. So
it really is.
There was an antidepressant drug that you did quite a bit of research on.
Yeah, because it sounded like something that in the US is a thing. So there. Kind of, and this is what I suspected, they're kind of related, but of course the one that's in the US is more dangerous. So dothopin is the one that is used in Europe and stuff like that. Doxepin.
Is it just a brand name? Like is it just
it's This is the generic name.
Oh, okay. So it really is a different drug. So it is more deadly.
Yes, it is. Wow. Yeah. That's why I was like, oh, okay. So they're both a tricyclic antidepressant, like amitriptyline. A lot of people take that for like migraines, sleep.
So it's pretty.
It's used for pain. It's a pretty little common, bit.
Right?
It's very common. And I actually took doxepin for sleep at one point. And
do you remember when you took it? Whether there was a very, very bitter taste to the pill, or was it coated?
It was a gelatin capsule.
Okay.
So I don't know.
From what I understand, it's a very, very bitter drug.
Yeah.
Which is why they probably put it in a capsule. Mm-hmm. And they probably say to eat it with food, not necessarily because of anything outside of like queasiness. It would be primarily to cover up that bitterness.
Right.
But it was almost like, well, how do you hide this drug in a food?
By like 10 alarm curry.
And I was thinking about this, and I'm not a big fan of curry, but I love spicy food.
I love curry.
But what I started thinking about is when you do eat very spicy food, you tend to not really taste it.
Right. The heat like just overpowers everything. And that's because like a lot of it is just like it tastes chemical, like, like real, like natural heat that comes from food. Like that's good in certain amounts, but certain hot sauces or, whatever, you can taste the chemical behind it. And I just think that's gross.
But, I wonder, was he just like, oh, it's nice and spicy, and he ate it? I don't.
Like curry, that's like turmeric, curry powder. Mm-hmm. Like that is extremely overpowering, extremely strong.
But I don't think of it as bitter, bitter.
Not bitter.
For me, bitter will stand out. So if you're putting these caps, what I'm saying is if you're putting the drug in the food,
right,
it would stand out. To me, it would stand out, but maybe some people are just like, they don't really have they can't tell.
Yeah. I mean, it could be.
They're like dogs. Curry. That's how people eat. You see people eat.
Oh, I know.
You have a son. I have a son. You see them eat. Rah, 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 rah.
That's how so she put in about 30 capsules of this stuff. Oh my God, and dude. I believe 10 tablets of aspirin that she had crushed up.
What was the aspirin for? Just as
I don't know. I was gonna look up like how much aspirin would you have to take to kill you?
But, I'm thinking if there's one taste I know, it's aspirin.
Yeah, it's gross.
It's bitter. And it's gross. It's wicked
bitter.
And it's one of those things where if I tasted it in something, because I've had, it's like Alka-Seltzer, it's like.
Right. Yes. It's the salicylate in the aspirin. I'm totally going off into pharmaceutical land, but aspirin, Pepto-Bismol, stuff like that. Like it's salicylate.
But I wonder. I wonder if you turn the heat up enough,
you're not going to taste this, it.
You just don't. Maybe right?
No.
Or maybe like, you only put it into part of the food too.
Yeah.
Like if she only let's say she had a big bowl of curry, right? Mm-hmm. And the top right corner was like the condensed amount.
Right.
And it's like, she sticks the fork there, and that's when you pick it up and you're like, oh, I'm going to eat this. And you eat it and you're like, oh, it's kind of bitter. Is it really? Keep trying it,
Oh, I didn't even think of
that. I don't know. I'm just thinking of manipulating people. Like, how would you do that?
Right. Yeah.
And she's awful. She probably started unbuttoning her top while he's doing it.
No kidding. I'm like, isn't this the greatest curry ever?
Right. This is
and so like this stuff is it can be super dangerous because it's a serotonin and norepinephrine reuptake inhibitor. But it
just
also,
tell me what you think that means.
Okay, so
I don't know what that means. I'm sorry.
A reuptake inhibitor is like, it's hard to explain. Anyway, like,
you would overdose, of course.
Right. If you take an excess of anything that's a serotonin reuptake inhibitor, you can suffer what's called serotonin syndrome. Mm. And it's serious, and I've had it. Like mildly, but like you can indeed die from serotonin syndrome.
Wow.
So
that was probably a part of what was going on with him. Probably a small part, because taking this like large megadose of this drug that is extremely powerful, he in the reenactment anyway, I mean, we don't know what really happened. He's like showing symptoms almost immediately, which probably is true, right? I mean, especially if it's
because
crushed.
If you take what's inside the capsule and kind of like melt it in there, you know, and like pulverize the aspirin and whatever, like, it will.
Yeah.
Like you put it in your mouth and like, you know, like your cheeks and under your tongue.
Yeah,
if it gets there, it gets absorbed immediately into your bloodstream. Jeez. And it bypasses, you know, your digestive system. So obviously he's going to have it in those places, right? So it would take effect pretty damn fast. Also, it has anticholinergic side effects, which means...
Does that mean it doesn't go to the bathroom?
It does not. like it helps nausea, things like that. It also has antihistamine type properties, so it can be sedating, which is why it is used as a sleep aid, as well as an antidepressant.
No, I think probably she gave it to him around June 26th. I'm going to guess. Right?
I think that she gave it to him that day, on his birthday.
Well, from what I understand, and it was in one of the stories where she had to call him out for work, and people were asking him, he was going out for days, and he said it. I got the impression that it was like 3 or 4 days because he was
suffering
so much.
But I don't know. Like, it was never clarified for me. Like,
I bet you would shut his kidneys down.
It would completely shut everything down. Like, plus, you know, aspirin, like that can do some damage too.
She probably kept dosing them, right? Probably just like, here, take more of this, take more of this, take more of this.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I mean, why stop? I mean, if they're going to do an autopsy, they're going to find something.
And that is what they found.
Dude dies on his 31st birthday.
That sucks.
I mean, that is that's the achievement, I think, for her. Like, was that intentional? Like, did she even care? Did she even notice?
Probably not. Okay, so get this. An aspirin overdose looks like rapid deep breathing, ringing in the ears, nausea, vomiting, stomach pain, fever, sweating, confusion, drowsiness, and potentially seizures or coma in severe cases. Obviously, it's considered kind of an NSAID, so you have that gastrointestinal stuff, like if you take too much Motrin or Aleve or whatever. Like,
but we're talking about a lot. Like, I mean, I would imagine, like, if you were to take, like, 20 aspirin.
That's a lot. Yes. So.
No, I mean, I don't recommend anyone ever taking more than the recommended amount. Yes, please don't.
But don't ever take any more, you know, than it says on the label.
But you know how they say sometimes, like, oh, yeah, well, you know, if it's not working, just double up.
You know? Well, something like Motrin, ibuprofen, like the prescription strength goes up to 800 milligrams. Right. So sometimes doctors will tell you to take like 3 or 4 ibuprofen, but that's not something you should do often.
And that's also by doctor's orders. I remember my son had like a really bad fever when he was little, like he was like, you know, 8 months old or something. And we went to a doctor and the doctor gave him the hugest megadose of Motrin. He's like, this is like the equivalent or whatever it was. I don't know what it was. It was liquid something. And it was, he's like, this will bring the fever down right away. I mean, his doctor's pretty hardcore and cool. Like, you know, he's, and, he's like, this is equivalent of like maybe 6. He's like, never, ever do anything like this over. He's like, always follow the label. He's like, but in this case, we're just going to knock it out really fast, you know?
Yeah.
And we did it. And within 20 sometimes minutes, his fever was already coming down in 20 minutes.
Yeah. Fevers can be really dangerous. They can actually cause seizures. So those are the early symptoms of aspirin poisoning. The severe symptoms are mental status changes, drowsiness, agitation, confusion, delirium, incoherence, hallucinations, unsteadiness, shortness of breath, difficulty breathing, wheezing, fluid in the lungs, pulmonary edema, which comes with things like, central nervous system depressants, like opiates, Benadryl, anything that's like has a sedative effect. Have a rapid heart rate, super low blood pressure, seizures, tremors, coma, lack of responsiveness. So this is serious. And I mean, if he's like delirious and incoherent, like these are also similar symptoms to a Tylenol overdose. A lot of people end up in the psych ward for a Tylenol overdose because it presents like schizophrenia.
Wow.
So yeah, like, you know, the you know, most common, like, over-the-counter things like aspirin. Nobody thinks about that stuff. But, you know, when you look into it, it's scary. And people, you know, I've seen people take handfuls of Tylenol and aspirin and whatever, and it's not good. And it thins your blood like crazy.
Yeah. Well, what's so interesting about this entire case is that, so she essentially murdered Julian Webb in 1994. And then she was brought up on charges for stealing that $35,000.
Yeah. Plus a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah. But she got 18 months. I think she served 9 months. I think I heard that.
Jailed for 18 months.
She would not, and that was in 95, right? That she was jailed for,
Yes.
And she would not divorce her first husband?
Nope.
Until 1997. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, it's like, all right, maybe it's time. We did 12 years or 13 years. Then she finds later that year, Richard Thomas. So did you see the reenactment with Richard Thomas?
I didn't. I couldn't find any. Oh,
Thompson. I'm sorry.
Yeah. He's the one that dies too.
No. No. Yes. Richard Thompson doesn't die. There's interviews.
Oh, that's right. It was an attempted murder.
So this is what happened. This is crazy. And the way he tells it, it's almost like he's getting off on it in a very uncomfortable way. So
yeah. because of how it transpired.
So there's a couple of different interviews with him. And the first one I saw, he's like, I was taking a bath and Dina comes in and, you know, it's like, we were kinky and everything. So she said, I want to tie you up.
Mm-hmm.
So in the reenactment, we're tying him up. We're putting like a leather belt on his wrists. We're putting mm-hmm. tape on his ankles. And she's like, I have a surprise for you. I'm going to lay you down. So lays the guy down, puts a towel over his head. Right. And as he's laying there on the bathroom floor and he's like all excited and everything. Right. He's like, oh, this is going to be very exciting.
Oh, it's going to be exciting. All right.
So he starts panicking a little bit because he's hearing noises.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, this doesn't seem right. And from what he described, he got his hands out of the belt behind his back,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't take the towel off. So it's almost like he just wanted to free his hands.
Yep.
And the next thing he knows, boom, she hits him in the face with an aluminum baseball bat, like Primus, right? Like,
yep. That's crazy.
Takes an aluminum baseball bat up to his cranium. Twice? Was it twice? He has these stitches that are the size of everyone's elbow. It's crazy.
It is crazy. Like, talk about.
And then he gets stabbed in the shoulder and he's fighting back and they're slipping on his blood and he's freaking out, of course. And. You know,
and she claimed self-defense.
She claimed not guilty. She said, I'm not guilty.
What a sweet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's a good one.
And yeah, she's a good one. All right.
It's crazy. But yeah, she claimed self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
But she was acquitted for the attempted murder of Richard. But she was
because
convicted.
They weren't allowed to bring in her prior bad acts, which I think is bullshit.
The UK is a very interesting place.
It really is.
But yeah, what else happens? So she does get 3 years and 9 months.
She was convicted on 15 counts of deception because she told literally like all of her husbands that like she had cancer of this, that, and the
that
third.
Was so sad.
Like people she had Munchausen syndrome so bad. And so Julian wanted to, you know, go with her for her treatments, but like she could never schedule, you know, her treatments for when he was around.
Mm.
So, you know, just it's crazy.
Yeah,
so,
this woman, it's a crazy story. Mm-hmm. They also talk about like things that I don't know whether they're very relevant. Like how she would like flash her private parts and say, take picture, almost making it seem like, oh, that's playful. That's fun. Like, it's not a normal behavior.
That's really
I don't think it is, behavior. But no. Maybe I'm just not living my best life, but it's not, but it's not really normal behavior. And
really I don't, think,
so
I actually just had a really, really long conversation with Keith about women and like embracing their sexuality, but not being like disgusting
mm-hmm.
and like out there with just things like, that they
like
talk
online
about.
Online or, you know, I mean, or,
yeah.
Because people, yeah, yeah, I mean, like in OnlyFans society, everything is so public and
yeah,
nothing
and,
is left
you
to
know,
the imagination.
Songs like I'm not even going to say,
mm-hmm.
but. I just think that, I don't know. It's just like you're disrespecting yourself. Knock it off.
Yeah. But people were saying this 40 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
60 years, 70, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, it's just that it is. It's so available.
Yeah.
And
like, I'm not saying that like, you know, women shouldn't embrace their sexuality and whatever. Like, you do you, but remember, you know, you still want to be like a lady, a respectable human being.
Yeah.
You know, like not everybody needs to know every detail of things. You don't need to be flashing people.
But when you're trying to, like, get a guy to marry you, and yeah, the guy is desperate to begin with, because she put an ad out on, like, this weird, like, early online forum type of thing. Yeah. And it was kind of like she was just basically going, she had a type, right, that she knew she would be able to manipulate.
Mm-hmm.
Men would still say, like, she had control over all men, not all men, but they would say that she has control over men.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, no, she had control over you because you were a certain type who you right. wanted it really badly. You wanted this exactly. relationship.
And from what I hear, she was a very attractive woman.
I can't tell by the photos. I can't really tell. This is my own personal opinion. But
yeah, I haven't seen pictures.
Oh,
of
really?
Like, you haven't? I have not. Like, I have been looking, you know, for so much, and I can't find anything.
Yeah, I mean, she's not unattractive.
Yeah,
but I mean, at best, she's blonde, she's an average looking woman. Like, there's no, like, you don't look at her and go, "Whoa!" I can totally see why guys are lining up.
Right.
It's not like she's, I'm trying to think of an outdated reference.
Pam Anderson?
No. Go even further out. She's no Suzanne Summers.
She's no what?
No Suzanne Summers.
Suzanne Summers. Oh my God. It's so funny that you say that.
She's no Goldie Hawn.
Oh my God. I was on Shein looking at stuff, and I swear to God, they were selling a Thighmaster, and I'm like, where the hell is Suzanne Summers? Like,
she died. Didn't she pass away?
She did, yeah.
I like Suzanne
Summers. She did. I liked her, too. She was pretty cool.
Funny.
I liked her on Three's Company.
Yeah, me too. I don't know her from anything else, I'll be honest.
She was on Step by Step in the 90s. She played the stepmom.
Yeah, I stopped watching
television. Yeah, that's way past your time.
Yeah. But but yeah, so let's see. So she gets 3 years, 9 months. More questions start kind of surrounding the Red. Husband who had been poisoned, you know, the curry guy.
Yes, so, they exhumed him in 2001.
Yeah, so they're like, the new forensics reveal that
it was murder.
But they didn't do a tox screen. You know, they didn't, I don't know, like, they didn't think to do that.
Yeah, I know. I don't, like, I've heard so many stories about, like, you know, like 20 and 30 somethings just dropping dead and, like, no autopsy is done.
I mean,
like,
it's 1994. It's not 1894.
Right. Like, you know, it's bizarre to me. And I think that, you know, every unattended suspicious death or just any unattended death of someone, you know, who, like, isn't old or, you know, terminally ill. Mm-hmm. I think that, like, a full workup needs to be done. An autopsy, a complete tox screen, all of that, because you just never know.
Yeah, it's really bananas.
It is.
So it took 2 years, but they finally did convict her for his murder.
And what happens next pisses me off.
Well, she was sentenced to life. And well, which thing? Because there's
when she went back to, like, they overturned the conviction. I don't know how it works over there, but they set it later for 16 years. And she was paroled.
Oh, right.
In May 2022.
Yeah, it's kind of, so she's out right now?
She is out right now.
There is a documentary put out by Sky. I don't know. Is it Australia Sky?
I'm not sure, but I looked it up on IMDb and it said that it was on Apple TV and Prime Video. And I went to both and it said, this is no longer available.
Interesting.
So, yeah. And I went looking. Like, I was like, maybe it's on something else, because a lot of different things change, you know, streaming services and all that. I could not find it anywhere. It was a 3-part miniseries. But like, I couldn't find any shows. I was able to get through like two podcasts, but they're awful. But like the other ones, like I can't. It was god awful.
Can I just point out something that it's a really disgusting trend right now? So I don't know, like, we do a search and sometimes we want to jump into a podcast. Like today I had an hour just to just do nothing. So I was looking for a podcast to, you know, listen to about this. Cause you never know. I mean, I want to support my fellow true crime podcasters as well as, you know, just kind of see what's out there. So on YouTube, I do a search and I notice one right after the other, they're all AI. Like they're all voice to text, or rather text to voice. And
that is
every thing. Like every single documentary you see, that's a roughly, I would say 12 to 18 minutes on the topic, is the same script. It's the same.
Yeah.
AI garbage voice. Like, you know, you go to 11 labs and you can create these things pretty easily.
Yeah, I've heard, like, I forgot what I was doing, scrolling something on Google, whatever, and there was, like, an app or some kind of program that, like, oh, you know, you can create your own podcast and, you know, pick your own voice and this and that. I'm like, why would you want to do that? Like, right. I would want to host my own with my own voice and my own opinions.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why people are going and listening to what is essentially Wikipedia.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I don't. It's,
and there's only like maybe 6 voices out there. I mean, the voices are definitely getting better. There's no doubt about it. But I'm going to play you just a moment. This is from UK True Crime Documentaries. 60,000. Oh, wait, this might not be it. I don't know if this is an AI voice. I'm not going to do that one. But this is Ghost of Crime. That's not it either. I'm sorry. That's Deadly Truth. Let's see.
They spot it now. There. They're up against a ruthless serial hunter. A monster lurking in shadows for decades.
Like, are you kidding me? Like,
wow.
Who's talking quite like this?
It's so obvious.
Let's see if this first
one. She calls him from the kitchen. Her voice sweet and caring, telling him dinner is ready.
It's,
oh my god.
But it's, I have a tough time listening to it. I find that the voices that are currently out there are very fatiguing to my ears.
Yes, and I don't like the pausing between, like, it's the same.
What do you mean, Amy? Furthermore, like,
yes.
This UK documentary is about a woman named Dana. And they say certain things wrong. Like, really wrong. Yes.
Like, how do you screw that up?
She Tyricked many men. <It's> like, you meant trick?
She really did.
The wife is guilty is 100% organic. Mm-hmm. And, we will never, ever use AI to replace us.
No.
That's it.
We're cool enough.
That's our promise.
And we don't have a script. We do not have
a script.
We just look at the facts in front of us and talk about them.
Correct.
And then give our opinion. Oh my god.
There used to be this HBO show called Flight of the Conchords. I don't know if you ever watched it.
No.
And it's about these two New Zealand guys who moved to, I think, New York. And they were really funny. They're really, really funny. And it's definitely worth looking into. It's good music and everything. And they have a song called The Humans Are Dead. And it's just one of my favorite. The humans are dead. That's,
oh my God. There's a really dope song. It's, do you remember that show Numbers?
Yeah, I kind of do.
Okay. So it's about a computer that like is sentient, right? And, the song is called The Geeks Were Right.
The Geeks Were Right.
But like, it's so effing catchy. Like, if you could play it, it's amazing.
The Geeks Were Right? Or
yeah, The Geeks either were or are. The Geeks Were. I think it's The Geeks Were Right.
All right, let's see what this is. Is this it?
Is it? Oh my God, I love this song. I just love that beat.
Are there words?
Yeah. And like it gets good.
Eyeballs float in wet green grass. I've got a chainsaw motor that's filled with rain. But when it sings like Bach, the eyes all bulge. And when the pink sun drops, the eye.
Catchy. I just can't.
Look, if you go to YouTube and look up The Geeks Were Right, you get this really crazy video.
It's different lyrics though.
Oh, it's the one I just lyrics. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the one that I know it goes, they've got modified features and software brain.
wait, here's The Humans Are Dead. Just
okay.
Just like 10 seconds of it all.
The distant future.
Oh my God.
In the distant future, the year 2000.
We are robots.
The world is very different ever since the robotic uprising of the mid-90s. There is no more unhappiness.
Affirmative.
We no longer say yes. Instead, we say affirmative.
Yes, affirmative.
Unless it's a more controversial situation with a few robo-friends. There is only one kind of dance. The robot.
And the robo-boogie.
Oh, yes. Two kinds of dances.
Finally, robotic beings rule the world.
The humans are dead.
The humans are dead. We use poisonous gases. And we poison their asses.
And I feel like you can go right into video kill the star.
But, you know, that's what this podcast is all about. Like, you think you're going to get this from AI? Come on. Come on.
Absolutely not.
It's like, come on.
All right. Oh my God, that's funny.
So yeah, so she's out. I don't know what she's up to these days. I'm gonna guess she changed her name.
Probably.
But she was in prison for 19 years.
She was.
Which, you know, I mean, what? I mean,
they dubbed her the Black Widow. Which, like, dude, how many people? They called Betty Lou Beats the Black Widow. Like, everybody's the Black Widow.
Yeah, I don't like the Black. They have to come up with something new.
Yeah.
So her current whereabouts, she's keeping a low profile. There have been sightings in readings in London. And she's 65, around 65. So
yeah. She would be
66 now, right?
No. Well, wasn't she born in 63?
Yeah. So how old
was she? So my mom was born in 61. So she is 64. So she would be like 62.
So, you know, I mean, she's got a whole life ahead of her, unfortunately.
I guess.
I mean, I've always wanted to hit somebody in the head with a baseball bat, but you know, it's an awful thing to do. And you know what? The truth is, he would be dead if he had not slipped out of his like handcuff.
Right.
But you know, when he talks about it now, you see his face and he's all like, and it was very exciting. And it's like, what kind of moron are you? You did not learn your lesson.
Yeah, definitely not. And it's just so weird.
Yeah. Well, that's it. You know, she's guilty. She went in for almost 2 decades.
Yeah.
I'm hoping she learned a lesson of some sort. I don't know. She's probably out there scamming.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
It's like she clearly has a pattern of.
So all in all, do you think we're done with Dina Thompson, or you think she'll be back in the news one day?
You know, I really fear that she might still be a risk. Yeah.
Because the truth is, she's not very good at this.
She's really not. She's not.
So she's bound to get caught again if she's messing around. She'd be just smart to find some guy because, you know, everyone says how attractive she is and just kind of stay with him, maybe.
Yeah. And not
live your life a little bit instead of trying to kill him for the insurance money.
No kidding. And the funny thing about that is, because her marriage to Julian Webb was null and void, she had no rights to his estate, and his mother was awarded the rights to his estate. Like, what a slap in the face to her. And I loved hearing that.
Thank goodness that.
Like, she went the same damn day he died to his work and was like, what's up?
Let's cash in some of this insurance.
Right. Crazy. Like, you look so guilty. Like, pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just a little.
But, you know, you can't force everyone to do the right thing. And clearly, she's somebody who we just can't trust.
No.
So, let's see. So, I guess that finishes up for this particular case. I do want to mention that we do have a Patreon account, and I think we should put it out there. It's if you like what we do and you want to help support what we do, head on over to patreon.com/guiltyspouses and you know, support us with anything you have. I mean, even a dollar, you know, goes back into the show. But we're going to try to come up with things for supporters that, you know, are like $5 and above, and try to do some special things like additional shows, maybe a decal, or, you know, we have a bunch of ideas. If you have any ideas, you know, you got to reach out to us.
Definitely.
Mark or Amy at thewifeisguilty.com. And you can.
Thehusbanddidit.com.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the husband did it. And we will be posting our Discord channel on our website soon.
There's a lot of stuff to come. When we're recording this right this instant, we've not even released this podcast yet. We are creating an archive so that there's always some for you to listen to. And we're always researching and getting ready for our next case, which is tomorrow.
Yep. You want to know something kind of cool? I had the day off from, you know, the day job because I had a dentist appointment and a couple other appointments. And, you know, so I was listening to the podcast while I was driving. And I, you know, they ask you how you doing, whatever. So, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, we're, you know, doing podcasts, whatever. So, like, the dental hygienist was like, let me grab a pen. What was that?
Huh, that's awesome.
And I'm like, yes. And then
it's not out yet.
I said that. The medical assistant from my doctor's office was like so intrigued, and so was my doctor.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so.
You want to give him a shout out?
Yeah, so Dr. Stricker, Dr. Bartel.
Dr. S, Dr. V.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you so much. If you are listening to this, thank you so much for listening.
Yes.
And from what I understand, you guys are incredible.
Yep.
But Amy, thank you so much for doing this. All the work that you put into the research and getting ready. And
it is a labor of love.
It really is. And people should definitely leave us reviews, throw us some ideas for cases. We are an open book.
Yep.
So again, if you do love this podcast, or even if you just really like it, head on over to patreon.com/guiltyspouses. And we appreciate your support.
Yes, we do.